My Early Days by Nelson Mandela. My home village of Kunu was situated in a narrow grassy valley crisscrossed by clear streams and overlooked by green hills. It consisted of no more than a few hundred people who lived in huts, which were beehive-shaped structures of mud walls with a wooden pole in the center holding up a peaked grass roof. The floor was kept smooth by smearing it regularly with fresh cow dung. The smoke from the hearth escaped through the roof, and the only opening was a low doorway one had to stoop to walk through. The huts were generally grouped in a residential area that was some distance away from the maize fields. There were no roads, only paths through the grass worn away by barefooted boys and women. The women and children of the village wore blankets dyed in ochre. Cattle, sheep, goats, and horses grazed together in common pastures. The land around Kunu was mostly treeless except for a cluster of poplars on a hill overlooking the village. In the area, there were two small primary schools, a general store, and a dipping tank to rid the cattle of ticks and diseases. From an early age, I spent most of my free time in the veld, playing and fighting with the other boys of the village. At night, I shared my food and blanket with these same boys. I was no more than 5 when I became a herd boy, looking after sheep and calves in the fields. I discovered the almost mystical attachment that the Khoza have for cattle, not only as a source of food and wealth, but as a blessing from God and a source of happiness. It was in the fields that I learned how to knock birds out of the sky with a slingshot, to gather wild honey and fruits and edible roots, to drink warm, sweet milk straight from the udder of a cow, to swim in the clear, cold streams, and to catch fish with string and sharpened bits of wire. From these days, I date my love of the veld, of open spaces, the simple beauties of nature, the clean line of the horizon. As boys, we were mostly left to our own devices. We played with toys we made ourselves. We molded animals and birds out of clay. We made ox-drawn sledges out of tree branches. Nature was our playground. The hills above Kunu were dotted with large, smooth rocks, which we transformed into our own roller coaster. We sat on flat stones and slid down the face of the large rocks. I learned to ride by sitting on top of calves. After being thrown to the ground several times, one got the hang of it. I learned my lesson one day from an unruly donkey. We had been taking turns climbing up and down its back, and when my chance came, I jumped on and the donkey bolted into a nearby thorn bush. It bent its head, trying to unseat me, which it did, but not before the thorns had pricked and scratched my face, embarrassing me in front of my friends. Africans have a highly developed sense of dignity. I had lost face among my friends. Even though it was a donkey that unseated me, I learned that to humiliate another person is to make him suffer an unnecessarily cruel fate. Even as a boy, I defeated my opponents without dishonoring them. The Mbekela brothers would often see me playing or mining sheep and come over to talk to me. One day, George Mbekela paid a visit to my mother. "Your son is a clever young fellow," he said. "He should go to school." My mother remained silent. No one in my family had ever attended school, and my mother was unprepared for Mbekela's suggestion. But she did relay it to my father, who, despite, or perhaps because of, his own lack of education, immediately decided that his youngest son should go to school. The schoolhouse consisted of a single room with a western-style roof, on the other side of the hill from Kunu. I was 7 years old, and on the day before I was to begin, my father took me aside and told me that I must be dressed properly for school. Until that time, I, like all the other boys in Kunu, had worn only a blanket, which was wrapped round one shoulder and pinned at the waist. My father took a pair of his trousers and cut them at the knee. He told me to put them on, which I did, and they were roughly the correct length, although the waist was far too large. My father then took a piece of string and drew the trousers in at the waist. I must have been a comical sight, but I've never owned a suit I was prouder to wear than my father's cut-off trousers.